Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, a show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
John, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm feeling a little under the weather. I think I might be coming down with something, but I'm powering through.
You got the cooties?
I have the cooties.
Well, whatever you do, don't get the cooties around our special guest today. That's right, we got a guest here today.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's a hilarious comedian. He has an awesome podcast called Making Podcasts Great Again. He plays the voice of Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. J.L. Colvan.
Woo! Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks for being here, JL.
Yeah, we appreciate to have a special guest. We don't usually have a special guest in the studio when we're doing like a regular episode of SNL, but right. This was not really a regular episode of SNL.
This was an irregular episode. This episode was... Wow. There's a lot to talk about in this episode.
This is season 45, episode 10, from December 21st, 2019. Eddie Murphy hosting... And Lizzo musical guesting.
I mean, Dale, if you want to speak on it, but like, yeah, I never thought this would happen. Like, Eddie Murphy hosting, like, there was a point where I just kind of resigned myself to thinking, yeah, he's just never coming back. He's just never hosting. I mean, like, where were you, what did you guys think, like, when you first heard the news he was hosting?
I thought it was cool.
Yeah,
That's all I've got.
Hot take. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought
it was cool.
I hate to be so cynical, but part of me is like, there's so much money out there now, and there's so many things to promote that eventually, whatever your reason, whatever your integrity, whatever your cause, eventually it seems people will go,
they wear you down.
Yeah. Okay. It's time to just let bygones be bygones and get this promotion, get this check, whatever it might be.
I guess so. I mean, I guess for a while he was like kind of not crazy about it because, like, I mean, the infamous David Spade incident where...
Look, kids, a falling star. Make a wish.
Yeah. I mean, it's noted that he was kind of soured after he made that joke, but...
Yeah.
I guess now it's like it's all swept under the rug, so it's
But, I mean, and it's a good time for Eddie to host because he's really kind of in the zeitgeist now. He's had a big... comeback, like his third or fourth comeback, right, with Dolomite Is My Name. He's getting ready for a big stand-up tour.
Yes, we're in the Murphy Sons.
Yes.
As some would say.
So, JL, tell us a little about your history with the show, and like, how did you get hooked on Saturday Night Live? Are you hooked on Saturday Night
Live?
Are you an
SNL nerd?
Yes.
I am probably, I think, obviously, you know, I tend to tweet more negative things, but I do tweet a lot of supportive things, too, almost to highlight... Okay. Hey, more of this, less of that, or less of this, more of that.
No, we can do that too.
But I, the people that come to mind, because obviously when I was a child, I was not a regular watcher.
Uh-huh.
I was just based on the time it aired, but I was an occasional watcher as a kid. I think it helped when they'd have those prime time, like, hey, it's the 15th anniversary of SNL, and you'd see like some of the Bill Murray sketches, and those were hilarious.
So what was the era where you first got started?
I'd say it was Phil Hartman, Dana Carvey are the two that I remember just seeing the most.
Same here.
Uh-huh.
And thinking they're on sort of, I don't know if they're both on my Mount Rushmore, but they're finalists for my SNL Mount Rushmore.
Wait, so you have a Mount Rushmore?
Do
you care to share that?
Oh, sure.
All right.
Well, it wasn't the weird thing. It was partly not mine. It was more like I was saying, here's who I think would be.
Okay.
No women.
Wow. Problematic.
That's our little problematic bell right there.
Easy, Velvet Jones.
Well, Eddie Murphy is one.
Yeah.
He's etched. He's George Washington.
Okay.
And then...
You've thought a precise parallel. Oh, my goodness.
Phil Hartman is, I think you can sort of go Phil Hartman or Dana Carvey. I would go Phil Hartman, but I wouldn't object if Dana Carvey made the list.
Sure.
Fair enough.
Will Ferrell.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah.
Not that he's my favorite of all, but I think he was like sort of a dominant figure for his time.
So is Will Ferrell like the Teddy Roosevelt of the Mount Rushmore? Okay.
And then the one that some people don't agree with, but I have Bill Hader.
Bill Hader was great.
Bill Hader.
I feel like Bill Hader, like when he was on and he wasn't quite getting the shine he deserved.
Well, Kristen Wiig was seemingly getting more of the shine for that, and I always thought she was more one-dimensional than he was.
Yeah, I would say that Bill Hader would be more versatile.
Yeah, like it seems like now he's getting the love he should have gotten, like, you know, with Barry and everything, he's getting more prominent, and you know, It Too and like all these other movies, and he's in now.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's so that's a good list.
Yeah,
solid list.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's dive into this episode.
Let's do it.
Scintillating conversation.
It's Eddie Murphy. This is the guy who like brought the show back from the brink in the early 80s.
It was pretty much him. Like, if you think of, there was a bunch of other performers in his era, the early, you know, early 80s, but like, he's like clearly the most dominant one.
He's the guy that people were tuning in to watch.
Absolutely.
He was, I mean, I remember on when I was a kid on the playground, it was all the buzz was about Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit but Joe Piscopo, but
Tim Kazurinsky too.
I don't remember many Tim Kazurinsky fans.
Can I make one sports analogy?
Sure.
Oh.
See, because I think most people would label him sort of the Michael Jordan of SNL.
Uh-huh.
But I think in terms of his impact, he's more like Magic and Larry in terms of creating the modern NBA. Like, in other words, without Magic and Larry, there's sort of the NBA never reaches the popularity where Michael Jordan can come in and be this sort of iconic figure.
I think
by kind of almost saving the show, he's a legend as well, but he almost helped make the show last a lot longer and become a much bigger brand than it was, I think.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, he was like the first really big person the show had after the original cast left. Right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, so,
he was dominant, and he's back on this episode. And I don't know, guys, let's just talk about it.
Jeez. Okay.
There's a lot to talk about.
Let's dive in.
A lot to digest. Cold open.
Cold open. We had the Democratic debate on PBS. We had a Democratic debate on Thursday night this week, I believe.
Yeah.
The night after the presidential impeachment. It was a big news week. You guys.
A lot happened.
A lot happened this week.
There were things happening.
It was eventful. So we had Heidi as the moderator, Judy Woodruff, and she was saying it's a Democratic debate just like The Bachelor. The further we go, the less diverse it gets.
Ooh.
and we had Kate McKinnon as Elizabeth Warren, who was very excited to be on PBS.
Right.
She said PBS is my safe word. we had Bowen Yang as Andrew Yang. Colin Jost is Pete Buttigieg. He says, I'll be in attack mode as long as it's okay with you guys. We had Rachel Dratch returning as Amy Klobuchar. Larry David coming back as Bernie Sanders yet again. As Joe Biden, Jason Sudeikis.
The Duke.
Curveball. Because like this season we've had Woody Harrelson playing.
It's been Harrelson. Now we're getting Dacus.
We got Joe Biden classic.
Yeah,
we had like the new Coke of Woody Harrelson, and then
classic formula,
and then we go back to the classic formula. Jason Sudeikis.
Original flavor.
Yeah. He seemed to have, he had Woody's fake teeth, which I don't remember. Sudeikis didn't wear fake teeth when he did Biden before, did he?
I don't think so. Maybe not early on. I think he did like the later episode. I think he did.
Okay. All right. We'll have to go back and check that. And then let's see. Instead of Tom Steyer, we had Fred Armisen coming in as former NYC Mayor Mike Bloomberg. They were like, well, Bloomberg, you're not even in this debate. And he says, well, for $30 million, PBS is now owned by viewers like me.
Mm. Yeah. I thought that line made me laugh.
That was a good line.
That was such a good line.
It's a clever line.
And I mean, I don't.
Because he absolutely could. Like, yeah. That's the point. He could just make like a $50 million donation and just be like, hey, I'm in.
Yeah. I don't know if the rest of the country is getting this, but here in the New York area, we are getting inundated with Mike Bloomberg.
It's a lot.
Because he's got like 10 times the money of anybody else to spend, at least.
Yeah, it's pretty oof.
Yeah, so it's all just like, hey, isn't Mike Bloomberg great? Yeah. Wouldn't he be much better than Trump? And
he apologized for Frisk and whatever, so yeah vote for him.
His ads are good. Not that this is the topic, but he, I mean, unlike Tom Steyer, I always thought Tom Steyer just like, he has so much money that he was like learning how to be in commercials while actually paying the millions of dollars commercials.
Learning as he goes.
Whereas Bloomberg, at least his first ad was like a slick, well done production.
That's true.
Like,
that is
a learning curve.
Yeah,
that's true.
Let's see who else. We haven't been through everybody in this.
There are so many cameos in this thing.
We had Maya Rudolph coming back as Kamala Harris with the fan blowing in her hair.
Could have had a bad bitch.
Yeah, she was like, I just wanted to show you how good you could have had it. But, you know, she wasn't getting the fundraising that she needed. We had Cecily Strong making a cameo as Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, that was a quick little
thing. She was present
Yeah.
She says, Democrats, I'll get you my party and your little mayor, too.
Yes. Evil laugh, evil laugh.
And we had a little twist. I mean, the sketch moved pretty quickly.
It did. It didn't drag. Yeah, I'll
yeah. Because they, I think they just want, they had to do it because it was a thing, big thing yeah. in the news that happened this week. But they had to keep it moving so we get to Eddie as soon as possible.
Right. Like, I mean, I knew they were, I mean, we all knew they were going to do something with political with this cold open. So I was like, let's just do it because you know you're expecting yeah. it. So then let's get through it. And then,
I mean, a president is not impeached every week. No, that so doesn't. We have to acknowledge this in some fashion.
That don't happen every day.
No.
But then afterwards, the moderator said, well, what if I told you, you know, President Trump was backstage and listened to everything you said, and then, like, right. a la Maury Povich.
A super timely Maury Povich.
and they even had a little logo yeah. with a T that looked like the Maury Povich logo, which I didn't notice until I rewatched the sketch this morning, and I was like, yeah. oh, that's a nice touch.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he comes out. Trump was wearing earrings for some reason. I didn't was notice he? That until my rewatch.
I didn't even notice
he's
that.
He's wearing earrings, and I guess that was a Maury reference of some kind or something.
I mean,
he took them off really quickly after he got on stage.
Oh, as if he is
like about
a
to,
woman of color about to fight.
Yeah, and, about to wreck shop.
Perhaps yes, perhaps
yeah. So it was a Baldwin again, as Trump as always.
Yeah,
you know, and he says, you know,
impeach, pact with Satan still valid.
Yes, like, impeach me outside. How about that type yeah. of thing?
If may I?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I thought
please dive in. You don't have to ask permission.
I thought that because I am obviously as a much better Trump impersonator than Alec Baldwin. I have watched his impression. The first time he did it, I said, it's not great, but I feel like he really worked on it. The very first appearance he had as Trump, I feel like he was like, I gotta nail this as best I can. And then it just very quickly devolved into the Alec Baldwin Trump thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's
like, I have these little tics. I'm just going to keep doing these little things.
Now you kind of accept, just the same way Will Ferrell was, if you really watch it, was like, that's his own creation. And people really like it.
Of his George W. Bush.
Right.
Yeah.
But this started as something that seemed authentic or an attempt at authenticity. And now is just like, what are we doing? We're doing, hey,
right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always get jealous. I'm like, he's using the SNL makeup and hair. These amazing artists yeah. that do tremendous,
right.
fast work.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
just putting this, like, bottom-of-the-barrel impression into that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, since you're a guy who imitates Trump on your podcast,
right.
how do you think Alec Baldwin could improve his Donald Trump impression?
Yeah. Give him some tips.
Well, the thing is, I think early on he was... It was very it was like, I'm going to pick a few things and I'm really going to try to nail them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it really doesn't resemble Trump at all.
Yeah.
If he didn't have the hair and makeup, you'd be like, what is that?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, for me, it's very, you know, you've got different tones.
Ooh.
Okay. You've mm-hmm. got the, where is Donald Trump? We're in an interview. Okay. We're talking, we're having a nice conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We mm-hmm. love people. We are talking to very good people.
I'm just going
to
close my eyes. So right. I feel
and,
like
then
I'm talking.
And then we've got like Rally Trump, which is like, look at these, look at these animals. Get them out of here. Do we like that? We don't like that. We need them to get out of here.
Holy uh-huh, hell. Uh-huh. That is scary.
There's Reading Trump, which is kind of, we have to do great things for our American people. We love our people. There's always that ad lib
uh-huh,
because he's
uh-huh,
just
uh-huh.
seeing the text
yeah,
for the first
yeah.
time. Baldwin has just the, he's sort of doing a whisper instead of, because it's a little more like, we like almost, I'm 2 days away from a sore throat.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I'm not there yet, but we're getting close.
Right.
Baldwin is just like, I'm going to whisper and I'm going to like shout whisper.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the, I'm both hushing and
yeah.
yelling at the same time.
So he should have some more modes.
Some more yeah, modes, like, and he's made the face. There's more to the Trump face. I'm not
mm-hmm. than just
not
that pucker.
The pucker.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
it. That's it.
He does and a constant pucker.
And if you were to go back and watch his very first impression,
uh-huh.
because I remember being like, "Damn it, why'd they get a celebrity? Like, maybe I could have gotten an audition."
Right.
But when he did it, I begrudgingly was sort of like, B plus. Like
okay.
high B plus, because I feel like he really, almost like an actor, like I'm playing Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I'm trying to really get this down. And ever since, it's become pucker and what are we doing?
Yeah.
We're over here.
Mm.
Now we're here.
Right.
This is all, yeah. get out of my face. And that's it.
Yeah, it seems like everybody who now, like all the other like talk show hosts, does his impression. Like when Fallon does a Trump, mm-hmm. it's Baldwin's impression of Trump.
Right.
Or like when like Colbert does a Trump, it's...
Colbert actually, yeah. see, but Colbert, maybe it's just disappointment or I'm holding SNL to the higher standard,
uh-huh.
which they should. Like, they have great impressionists on the show. So they... Stephen yeah. Colbert is not an impressionist, so I think he has just made his really like... lazy and like but
I mean Colbert just goes into him
is this
yeah
right
but it's almost like he would never say this is a good impression or like
right
I deserve an Emmy for this
he just goes into Trump for like a few seconds
right.
in
right,
his
right.
monologue and then he'll snap back into regular Stephen Colbert
right
absolutely all right well back to the sketch so then later on in the sketch we have Kate McKinnon as Nancy Pelosi she's played two characters in the same sketch
quick change I mean she was
has that ever been done. I don't think that's...
The only thing remotely like that I can think of was when they had, back in like 92, when they had Dana Carvey playing the first George Bush and Ross Perot. Yeah. But they did that with like video trickery.
Right.
Like he pre-taped Ross Perot. Right. And, but this was live.
Yeah.
I mean, she made that change in must have been like 2 minutes.
Yeah, that was like, whoa. It's like, is she playing two different...
And it's not... And it wasn't just like changing the wig and suddenly she's Nancy. She was in a different outfit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, kudos to everyone who was involved with that
yeah.
quick change.
I will say this.
That was impressive.
Is this a... I can't remember. Cursing allowed?
Yeah. Yeah, we can curse.
Yeah, you can
yeah, I mean, we keep it to a minimum, but yeah, you can...
Then I'm going to leave it out. Darren gave me sort of a... nobody's going to arrest you if you curse. But
no.
Well, all right. I'll say bang instead of the F word. But
uh-huh.
Kate McKinnon, I think, is incredibly talented.
Yes.
But she has managed to make both Nancy Pelosi and Kellyanne Conway...
Uh-huh.
Very bangable to me.
Ah!
And I'm not...
All
like,
right,
when
yeah.
she came out as Pelosi, I was like... This is just a, like, you're, maybe it's the Pelosi-isms
uh-huh.
on a woman in her late 30s come off as much more sexy than when they're being spoken
yeah.
by an old woman.
Yeah.
And her Kellyanne Conway, I find Kellyanne Conway, like, repugnant.
Yeah.
But when she does Kellyanne Conway, I'm like.
You're like, I'm kind of into Kellyanne.
This chick is hot.
She has, like, a raspy, sexy.
Like, slurry,
yeah.
like, I've had two drinks and I'm really into you right now.
Right,
and I'm like,
right.
whoa.
Yeah. I can
like
see that.
Like a hot divorcee.
Because, I mean, Kate McKinnon, I think she has a very sort of sexual or sensual quality to many of her characters. And
right.
I can definitely see that.
Oh, yeah, but when Pelosi came out, I was like, oh, that's Pelosi. But I was like, it's like young Pelosi.
It's like hot Pelosi. It's like,
hey, boys.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Not bad. All right, so yeah, let's head on to the... I mean, the cold open, though, was okay. It wasn't...
Yeah, it was good. I
liked it without Trump. And I know that not just personally, but I felt like let the people... Like, I thought Rachel Dratch had funny lines.
Yeah, she has good stuff in there.
Yeah.
And I just would have been like, do we have... Bald, it's almost like, okay, we get it, he's present, but he's not.
Yeah.
You have really good people on stage doing this. Like,
I feel like we just had... They had to get Trump in there somehow because of the impeachment this week. And that's such a huge story. It's such a...
Yeah. You got to shoehorn him there.
Yeah. And I think this was literally the only place they had for that because they couldn't really do a big political sketch.
Right.
Because that's... Because, like, who would Eddie play?
Yeah.
I mean, are there black people in the Trump administration? Yeah. I don't think so.
Ben Carson, maybe? I don't know.
You never see Ben Carson anymore. Where is he?
I don't know.
He's sleeping.
He's sleeping.
He's
it's
napping.
His hibernation cycle.
he'll come out in, like, February when he sees a shadow.
But anyway,
monologue. Let's go
monologue. We had Eddie. People were chanting, Eddie, Eddie.
I've never seen that for anybody.
That was, I mean, people are just... ecstatic to have him back. You look like you have something you want to say.
Yeah, when he came out, I said to my girlfriend, I was like, I can't believe they're not... I thought he'd get a standing ovation.
Yeah.
But then when they showed the top was standing.
Yeah.
The lower, I don't know if they're instructed for cameras to sit.
I feel like they probably must be.
When they pan to the top, those people were giving a standing ovation.
Yeah.
I said, okay, that's yeah, sort of okay. what I
Because I feel like if the people down on the floor stood up, that probably would screw up the shots.
Right.
I know they've got cameras on dollies and stuff, but
yeah, that makes sense.
Or the cranes, I mean,
right.
But
I mean, Eddie came out, did some jokes, took some shots at Cosby out of nowhere.
Yeah, he had a nice line early on. He was like, you know, it's good to be back, and he was like, if if I left the show 35 years ago, if you're black, this is the first episode of the show since 1984.
I was like,
that's very funny. Probably very accurate.
Probably, yeah.
He looked good, too.
Yeah, he's 58.
Vibrant and healthy.
It looks good. It looks good.
As they say, money don't crack.
Yes, yeah. But he had a nice line. He was talking about how he's got 10 kids and how he's now a boring stay-at-home house dad, and Bill Cosby is in jail.
Yeah.
He's like, if you told me this would be happening 35 years ago, I would not have taken that bet.
Yeah, it's like, oh, now who's America's dad?
Yeah.
Wow. And wah, and the Cosby impression.
I mean, that was great. He broke out the Cosby for a little bit.
Nice little zinger.
Yeah.
Then we had some celebs come out and say,
Some cameos,
yeah, yeah. We had Tracy Morgan came out.
Tracy Morgan!
It's good to see you, man. I was conceived on the Delirious tour bus.
we had Chris Rock come out, and he was like, yeah, I wouldn't miss this. My kids love Lizzo.
My kids love Lizzo. I do all the impressions.
And then we had Dave Chappelle come out.
Yeah.
Looking jacked, by the way.
He's been jacked for a minute, though. He's more jacked, do you think?
I don't know. I guess I'm just still not used to jacked Dave Chappelle. I'm used to the skinny Dave Chappelle who played JJ from Good Times.
Hey, man. What? That's Jimmy Walker.
No, but he would do an impression of Jimmy Walker. Okay. He would
as a big person who used to be big muscular and now is big poor dietary habits.
Yeah.
I think Chappelle got jacked, and I think now he's not as he may not be hitting the weights as hard. So I think there may be some padding now that isn't necessarily all weights.
Okay.
He was like a little more cut when he came out like several years ago. I was like, holy shit, Chappelle's jacked.
Right.
I think that was all weight, and now it's kind of like, I still hit the weights, man, but you know, now
I eat. Oh, I think he's wearing like a Spanx or something now?
Yeah.
No, not to that level. I'm just saying, like, he might just be, you know, lifting and not watching his diet.
Yeah.
All right. I can see that.
But Chappelle had a nice line. He was like, he told Eddie, I modeled my career after you. I became like the biggest star in television, and then I quit.
Yeah. And then Chappelle had another quick joke saying, oh, you're looking at, like when he's talking about himself, and Eddie and Chris saying, oh, you're looking at half a Netflix budget right here.
Yeah.
But then Tracy Morgan said, well, not me. I make all my money on the road. And Eddie was like, oh, you mean like touring and stuff? He's like, oh, no, I get hit by a truck. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a great line. It was just like, oh, wow.
That was good. And then like towards the tail end, we had Beck Bennett come out for like literally seconds.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, you go away. And Keenan comes out.
Yeah.
And so we had all five of those guys standing on stage at the same time.
It's a beautiful thing.
My only critique of that is you have, just from a stand-up comedy perspective, you have, you know, three people that would probably be in everybody's top 10 all time, and Tracy Morgan.
Oh,
yes. And just in terms of the iconic photo, and Tracy Morgan.
So you're saying Tracy Morgan's like the Jeff Lynne of that traveling Wilburys?
Oh, I like this metaphor.
Like
and sadly, what I wrote on Twitter was it's like George, John, Paul, and Ringo's dog walker.
Oh, Jesus. Tracy does some stuff.
No, and it's not that he doesn't have a great career, but I'm talking literally the people that would belong on that stage with that group would be the casket of Richard Pryor.
Right. They'd wheel it out.
A prison visit from Bill Cosby. Like, it would be somebody of that stature. George Carlin, maybe Jerry Seinfeld. Like, these are the types. But Tracy Morgan, I feel like, it's not like one step below that. It's like many steps below that.
You know, it's funny because I was feeling like kind of Keenan was the odd guy.
Oh, well, no, Keenan was even
out of
more
odd.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's been on SNL for like, he's like, has the longest tenure. That's something.
And there's a connection.
He's not left. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
And you could say Eddie Murphy's a cast member. Tracy Morgan was a cast member.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Rock and, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
and Chappelle's hosted a couple times.
Yeah. A couple.
Only hosted like
once.
Just once?
Yeah, just the one time.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah.
All right, I was thinking it was two, but
no,
right.
I mean, unless I'm forgetting something, there's only the one.
Time to Google that now.
Yeah, no time for love, Dr. Jones. Let's keep moving. Not a bad monologue. And then we go into our first sketch, Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. They brought it back.
This was exciting because like we had the little interstitial thing during the commercial break, and you see the set of the next sketch, and you, I recognize that Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
When stat. I saw that, I literally audibly went, ooh!
Yeah.
Like, no one in the room with me. I just went like, ooh!
I mean, I know that was like the gimme that he was going to do of all his old characters to revisit. I think that was the easiest one for them to revisit. And
right.
Update easily to make it relevant.
Yeah, and I thought they had a nice slant on it where Mr. Robinson, like, his apartment looks the same, but he says, like, my neighborhood's undergone gentrification.
Right.
That's our word of the day, gentrification.
Right, right. And Mr. Robinson was talking about how he's able to stay in his place. Well, let's go to our word of the day, which is squatter's rights.
Yes. Yes.
Which is a nice thing. And, and then he's talking about gentrification, about how, like, you know, all these rich people are moving in, and it's like a magic trick. All these rich people move in, and then poof, all the black people are gone. Mm-hmm. And where did the black people go? Well, they go back to where they came from, Atlanta.
Yes, and his Mr. Robinson looked older. He had like a grayish wig.
Yeah, I don't know why they put that wig.
He made himself look older than he looks in life.
Yeah, like that little wig. I was kind of distracting. I was like, why don't you just put him like in his regular hair? I don't know why I had that.
Because it was always just Eddie. How he looked.
Yeah.
Right. But I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Mr. Robinson's had a tougher life, I guess.
Yeah. It's been a rough
poverty
road.
Does crack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
See, yeah. Money does
call back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, look at my face. So then we have a thing where his neighbors, his new white neighbors, knock on the door. Of course, he does his very big, his famous line,
Who is it?
I don't know why that always cracks me up. It's the way,
yeah.
Something about the way just Eddie Murphy screams or something.
There's a little bit of a break in it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny because he's doing the, hey boys and girls and da 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 da, okay. And then he goes into scary black man voice.
Who is it, man?
Yeah. Although when you hear the knock on the door, they didn't do the usual thing where he goes like ooh, and then they have little musical tingly music, and I'm like, are you missing the cue on that? Did you forget to do that? I missed that.
Yeah,
they might have forgotten.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. It's been 35 years,
right? So basically what happened is like he goes to the door. It's his white neighbor saying, "Hey man, so we just want to let you know we're kind of missing our big Samsung TV we ordered, and
78 inch.
They say they dropped it off. We're just asking around to see if you've found it or anything." And then of course he screamed at them, "Oh, just because I'm black, because you got took it." And they're like, "Oh no, we didn't. We're just asking everybody. Sorry, we're sorry."
Get a little of that.
Yeah, yeah, a little of that.
Just for the neighbors. That was for Damien and Mika, played by Mikey and Heidi.
Exactly. So. And then of course they invite him to their holiday party. And they go, "Ain't nobody want to come to your damn holiday party." It's the way he screams makes me laugh.
Yeah,
it's like him and Will Ferrell had that thing where like the way they scream punchlines and way they scream lines just makes me.
It's just inherently funny.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a solid impression.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're Mr. Robinson.
I did a lot of studying. Like I come up in the arts. And of course, then they show that, of course, Mr. Robin, of course, he did steal the
it's on his mantle, the TV, and he's like, and kids, we're going to learn a new word. And he turns on the TV, and it just says racist.
Racist.
In
exactly.
Big black letters.
Surrounded by a bunch of other Amazon packages.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it ends with somebody knocking on Mr. Robinson's door saying, "Hey, I did 23andMe, and it says I'm your son."
Right.
And then Mr. Robinson's like, "Well, there's this new thing called 23andMe, which basically is like 23 people say that their father is me."
And it ends with how pretty much every Mr. Robinson sketch ended, of him sneaking out the window of his apartment.
I mean, this warmed my heart, this sketch.
It was cool. It was cool to see him return to the character, and it was neat that they figured out a new slant with the gentrification thing.
Yeah, yeah.
For 2019.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, JL, how'd you like this sketch?
I was very pleased with it.
Yeah.
I thought it was well done. And part of me was like, I wonder if Eddie will be good. But the fact is, he's still an actor. It's not like he quit all performing.
This is true.
So it's like he's still got his chops because he's still acting.
Yeah, so yeah. I thought there were like a couple little rough patches because, he's maybe a little rusty at live performing.
Yeah, I felt that too. He was like a little bit stiff here and there. But I think once he got going.
Like there are a couple like slightly flubbed lines or whatever. But nothing that like damaged the show, I thought.
Yeah, okay, I agree with that. Next sketch, the Holiday Baking Championship. Now, this was like a sketch that they did before with the Don Cheadle episode.
Yes, yeah, Don Cheadle last season. So they're revisiting this. This was, so we had four contestants. They're all making cupcakes with the theme of Christmas memories, childhood Christmas memories, I think. So we had Cecily. She was trying to make a cake of Elsa from Frozen. She was like, it's a peppermint sponge cake, and it's a hair made of 1,000 strands of icing. And then they unveil the cake, and it's just this hideous-looking abomination.
Like, Elsa's eyes are looking in different directions.
It looks like a Pablo Picasso painting, basically.
Yeah. I mean, abstract.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, now that I see it in the light, I see that it's bad.
This is terrible. Yeah.
And
like, they take a taste of it. It's like, is there garlic in this cake?
Yeah, and she's like... Yeah, at one point I blacked out and I just started making pasta.
I'm sorry.
And then, like, A.D. Bryant says, it looks like it has some sort of DNA problem, which was kind of edgy.
I don't remember that line.
Yeah, they said that.
Holy shit. There. then they went to Eddie Murphy's cake. He was doing like a Sonic the Hedgehog cake, which of course looked very terrible, and it was like brown.
It was brown with like these... sticks coming out of it,
like pretzel sticks,
and then a set of false teeth.
Yeah,
in the it was just this brown mound.
Now, they asked, like, why is it brown? He's like, I don't know, why is anything brown?
and he was like, yeah, looking at this, I made a lot of bad choices. I don't just mean with the cake, I mean with my life. I made a lot of bad choices.
His cake was, I liked that they turned it, not to spoil it, into like sort of a demonic thing, because it really looked like...
It was a nightmare.
A disturbing.
Yeah, when they cut back to Eddie later, his cake is on fire.
Yeah.
Not like candles lit. Right. No, actually on fire. And then it starts speaking in a demonic voice.
Yeah, like backwards devil talk.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, that's some evil backwards devil talk. Right. Which is just a funny sentence to say in a real pleasant, I'm on a cooking show, boys.
That's
some evil backwards devil talk.
Hey.
And then it starts speaking in like his grandmother's voice.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's trying to trick you.
Yeah, it's going to trick you and drag you to hell. He opened up a portal to hell with his cake.
Right. Then they went to Heidi's cake, which was a normal cake, and then just kind of passed by it saying, oh, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I did Frosty the Snowman, and it's like a wonderful looking cake that looks just like Frosty the Snowman.
Right.
And everyone's like, oh, great. And then they just move on quickly from her.
Yeah. And then she's like, my cake is way better. What are you talking about?
Superficial question. Does Heidi have a retainer or something?
In that sketch?
No, in general? In every sketch. Whenever I look at her teeth, they almost look like they have... If you look closely, I'm always like, they look like they have... like a covering on them.
Maybe. Like a veneer or something like that? Or
like Invisalign or something?
Almost, but I wish I could... A retainer is kind of almost what I keep thinking. It'd be weird on TV. It's like, you don't take that out for the 2 hours you're on national TV.
I don't know, maybe.
I don't know, yeah.
Oh, I mean, Justin's... Justin Gardner listens.
Justin Gardner, Heidi Gardner's brother, does listen. He's like supported our Patreon. So
Justin, let us know. What's up?
Let us know. Call in. Let us know.
What's up with your sister's teeth?
Yeah. No. And that's the thing. It's like they look. I'm just looking. Like when I see them, they're all straight and white. But then I'm like, is there something on the teeth?
On top? Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't say it, but I'll be looking for it now.
Maybe I watch her too closely.
Yeah, maybe
I don't know.
Look forward to that restraining order.
Take a step back, sir. And then Kyle came out with his cake, which was like a penis castle.
Yeah, he was like, oh, my theme was Cinderella.
It was.
And it was like, oh, it's a penis castle. It's where she goes when she's tired from all the balls.
That's a cute little joke.
Yeah,
and then,
a good line.
Oh, and of course, Eddie Murphy dropped an S-bomb on the show, too. Which was always funny.
At the end of the sketch, he goes, we can still win this shit. And
you can even see him going, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Eddie getting used to the live TV again.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just throw the FCC some Netflix
money. Hey, Sam Rockwell dropped an F-bomb a couple years ago. It's all good.
Yeah, it'll be fine. But yeah, the sketch was, I thought it was okay.
It was all right. It was more or less the same as the Don Cheadle sketch they did a year ago.
Pretty much.
But it was solidly entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was happy with it.
Next up, we got a pre-tape, Home for the Holidays.
Yeah, this was kind of similar to a sketch they did with Matt Damon. Last Christmas.
Matt Damon.
Is it my thing with these two sketches in particular? I laughed at both of them, but I couldn't help feeling like, but couldn't you just do all original stuff for Eddie Murphy because they were funny? But I was just like, oh, but it's like this is such a special episode that part of me was like, But why rehash or remix you've done before?
That's true.
That aren't Eddie Murphy centric. Although the Home for the Holidays, I did think was super funny.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is a good sketch. But I know what you mean. Like, part of me thought he would bring on his own writers. Maybe he did in a few places. Probably did. But
yeah.
But for the most part, it
wouldn't shock me. Yeah, I mean, who knows why? Like particular sketches end up on the show, and right. I don't know. Yeah,
that's true. All right. Well, but the Home for the Holidays sketch. So basically, it's a family home for the holidays. Everybody's gotten together. They're having Christmas dinner. Eddie Murphy is, you know, the head of the family, the patriarch. He stands up and gives a toast saying, want to say thanks for everybody for being here. And, of course, as he goes on, they cut to the maybe not so great parts of getting together for the holidays.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the grandfather making weird guttural noises during the night because the air is so dry. Like, you know, like while everybody's trying to sleep.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy's daughter bringing home his fiance, who's a white guy.
Yeah. And played by Mikey Day.
Played by Mikey Day.
And then they cut back.
The whitest of guys.
Yeah. The whitest. Yeah.
No, I think Colin Jost is the whitest of guys. He is.
But Mikey Day is the whitest of the regular sketch performers, I would say.
I concur.
Yeah.
Colin Jost is a white guy the way, like, a guy who works in like investment banking is a white guy, but Mikey Day is like your across America. There's 100 million guys mowing their yards that are Mikey Day.
Mikey Day is kind of like when black stand-up comedies do the stereotypical white guy. Day is kind of that guy.
Why people be crazy? They be walking like this all the time.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, I'm the regular guy in a sketch.
I'm the white fellow.
Do you know which way the Starbucks is?
Yeah. That's Mikey Day.
Why people be crazy? That was fun.
It's true. We're so lame.
But yeah, then they cut to an argument Eddie Murphy was having with his daughter, played by Ego, saying, oh, why can't I marry him, Dad? Because he's white?
Yes, exactly.
See, the way he said it, he was like, yes.
Yeah. Like, and then I like that they pull back and they show that Mikey is actually there to witness the argument.
Yeah. And also Maya Rudolph's in this pre-tape too as Eddie Murphy's wife, which is so it's like a nice little addition.
I'd like her back on the show. I always thought she was
a strong performer.
So good.
Yeah, yeah. She's underrated.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping she'll host one of these. Has she ever hosted?
I can recall.
I mean, they have her on, but has she ever hosted?
I feel like she should host, but I don't think she has ever hosted. I think she just probably needs like some big profile project for them to bring her on, a big movie or a new hit TV show or something like that.
I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe. Yeah, we'll see. Here's hoping.
Second season of that Fred Armisen show, if it comes back, Forever on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that?
I liked the first season.
Okay. I don't think it's coming. I don't know if it's coming back, but yeah, I heard.
Well, there you go. Then no.
Sorry. Whoops. Sorry.
Sorry, Maya.
Didn't mean to spill the beans on that one.
But we had Keenan as the grandfather, and he's saying, like, yeah, we should cherish this time together. And then they cut to him just being asleep for most of the day, asleep in a chair.
Yeah, just passed out.
And then at the end it says, yeah, to all our families, we love you even when we don't.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas from SNL.
Yeah, I thought this was a pretty sweet pre-tape.
It was cute.
It was very
similar to the Matt Damon episode, which oddly enough they reran at the 10 p.m. rerun.
Yeah, that was strange.
Oh, which, really?
Yeah,
that's terrible. It's like, don't rerun the one that's going to make this feel like a copy.
I mean, I was like, Eddie Murphy is hosting tonight for the first time in 35 years. Don't show like him hosting in 1984 or something like that.
I don't know.
Show something from literally a year ago.
I mean, I don't know who makes the call on that one, but yeah.
I mean, look, I'm always happy to see the Weezer sketch again, but...
Oh, the Weezer sketch. Our history on that Weezer sketch is very well documented. Let's not go into that.
We did a good 25 minutes on the Weezer sketch. We had opinions.
It was a roller coaster of emotions, that Weezer sketch. Next up, The Masked Singer.
Yes. We had Chris Redd as Nick Cannon hosting. We had Beck Bennett as Robin Thicke.
Good hair on the fake Robin Thicke.
Good wig game, right?
They did a good job, just because I was like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Wig game is on point.
We had Kate McKinnon as Jenny McCarthy, who I guess is Jenny McCarthy Wahlberg now? She's married to Donnie Wahlberg now?
She is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that that was a thing, and I didn't realize that she'd changed her name. Yeah. I don't watch The Masked Singer, you guys. Nice.
I just hope the prenup is protecting the Wahlbergers.
Yeah, right. Sure. I mean, that's what we all hope.
He does have the right stuff.
And we had Bowen as Ken Jeong.
Ken Jeong.
Young. I'm sorry, mispronouncing that.
I believe it's pronounced Carl Jung.
Carl Jung, as noted psychiatrist Carl Jung, who went to town. He psychoanalyzed everyone in the sketch. It was a weird twist.
I didn't see it coming, but no. I didn't hate it.
No. And Melissa Villaseñor as Nicole
Schlesinger.
Yeah, the pussycat,
Schlesinger,
the pussycat doll.
Pussycat
lady.
Doll. Yeah.
Yeah. Whose name I don't know how to say.
Yeah, and so one of the
Scherzinger. Is it Scherzinger? Nicole Scherzinger?
Scherzinger?
Yeah,
Scherzinger.
Sure. Let's say that.
Scherzinger?
I'd like some more Melissa Villaseñor. I know it's because I'm very partial to impressions.
Uh-huh.
But she's an insanely talented impressionist.
She's a great impressionist.
I've said that numerous times. Like, they don't give her enough to do.
I know sketch. There's certain skills. Like, for instance, to bring back Heidi, does a mm-hmm. lot of really good original characters.
Very specific character yeah. work, too. Very, like, very detailed, very well observed.
Right, and that is, like, I would say probably harder to do, to make up something out of whole cloth mm-hmm. and make it mm-hmm. really funny.
Yeah.
So that's one skill set, but it's not like Saturday Night Live doesn't showcase lots of impressions also.
Right.
And I think she is, I mean, she is really good. Like, I've seen her on different things, and
like her, Sarah Silverman is really solid.
Her Christina Aguilera is like, you actually have to have real vocal chops to do the impression that mm-hmm. she's able to do.
And she's done Lady Gaga and really like,
right.
She's a really good singer too. I don't know why I don't have her sing more.
She should. I just think she should be getting. I'm glad that she's still on the show, that they at least haven't been like, hey, you didn't do a lot, so you're like, this is, what, her third season?
I think so, yeah.
But I'd like to see her get more.
I mean, I think she's just one of those people, she just, for whatever reason, hasn't had a big breakout character yet really makes or breaks a cast member, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've said before, like, I think the reason she has, like, because maybe no one knows how to write for her, really.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we've seen, like, more and more Bowen Yang on this season, and that's mainly because Bowen Yang was a writer, so he can write for himself. Like, oh, I know my voice, I know what I can do really well, let me write this out and I'll get on. So mm-hmm. Maybe that's it. Maybe, like, no one knows how to best showcase her talents.
Also, I mean, with Bowen Yang, he has, I guess you would say this is an advantage, like, whenever there's, like, an Asian person to be played, it's going to be Bowen.
Yeah, that's true,
I mean, it's just because he's the only Asian person on the show, so.
It's true.
He's got a niche.
Yeah, he's hit that market.
I got to say this since he's come up.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I don't feel like my ears are not lying.
Are you not feeling the Bowen Yang?
Are you part of the Yang Gang?
I'm not.
Wow.
Because to me, I understand he's obviously a gay man.
Yeah.
But every character I feel like he has done is
flamboyant.
Like, uh-huh. even when it's not, there's range. It's, in other words, like if it were a different character, if it were a different orientation, and somebody was like, but he's always playing his characters like John Wayne, to make sort of a stereotypical opposite.
Uh-huh. Right.
You'd be like, can you do something else? Like, mm-hmm. even I've said this about Kenan Thompson, who I enjoy, but a lot of what he does is sort of very similar to it's very like,
he goes very Kenan.
I'm kind of happy doing everything. Like, it's kind of, and mm-hmm. Bowen, I find I'm going, oh, is this going to be the very flamboyant version of whatever he's playing?
I see what you're saying.
In other words, voice modulation, like different verbal tics, because mm-hmm. and once again, because I like to do a lot of impressions, that's sort of what I'm more focused on.
Right.
Like, you know, they all sort of sound the same.
Right.
Eh.
All right, no, that's great. Wow, you really dialed in on this.
It is his first season.
So that's true. Yeah.
But, you know, like, I'm somebody who, like, my favorite member, well, my two favorite members of the cast are probably,
like, the
current cast,
are Cecily Strong.
Yes.
Who I'm glad she's been getting more and more, because I feel like she used to be good in spots and it was like, give her more. And now I feel like she's getting more and still killing it.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan, even though you guys said they were sort of, maybe you were just joking, like interchangeable white guys. Okay. I love Alex Moffat.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think is a future star. That's if I were to bet.
Future star.
Yes. I think he is.
Okay.
His characters are funny.
Mm-hmm.
His impressions, like Eric Trump is not some sort of accurate impression, but it's a hilarious take.
Right. Yeah.
I think he's hilarious. Like, I've been really impressed with him.
Alex is one of those cast members, one of those guys who is just like, I don't ever worry when I see him in a sketch. Right. You know, he's always going to bring it. He's always going to deliver. And
I mean, I think we like when they first came on, Alex and Mikey, we were like joking, like, oh, they're interchangeable white guy, you know, Alex Day and Mikey Moffitt. We were just joking around.
Yeah,
you know, we have fun here.
We do. I mean, but yeah, it's also just because they start on the show at the same time,
right?
And when you're adjusting to learn a lot of new cast members at once, you can get them mixed up on occasion.
Yeah, but I mean, as time goes on, they have kind of been able to separate themselves and like differentiate themselves.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And like, yeah, I agree with you. Like Mike, I mean, Alex has some like really strong character work. He's always good as like kind of the douchey white guy, like
guy,
you know,
with a boat is
guy with a good, yeah.
Is who just got a boat. I think is funny.
It's that's almost like a hat nod to the old Mr. Subliminal, the old Kevin Nealon character where he just kind of talks fast and says something subliminally a little quickly. He's really good at stuff like that.
But my critique of Bowen, I have to say, I know it sounds awkward because what it could easily be is like, stop sounding so blank. But it's not that. It's more like,
the repetitive.
That's how you talk. If that's how you sound, that's how you sound. But it's like, but now you're in a sketch show. So it's like, I'd like to see more range and more like where I don't feel like, hey, that's Bowen Yang. As this guy, it's Bowen Yang. It's Bowen Yang with the Kim Jong Un outfit. It's Bowen Yang as Ken in the Ken Jong shirt.
So you want to see him get more lost in the character?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's kind of like the two types of cast members you see on the show. You have people who like vanish into the characters, like Heidi or Melissa, and then there are other people, like, I suppose Keenan would be a good example, where
he's like
just
the alpha.
He's
of
just
that,
like
of that
I'm going to do every character as Keenan, you know.
But yeah, like even if Steve Harvey's just like, oh, this is Keenan in a bald cap and mustache.
Yeah, yeah, and false teeth.
Yes. And of course, Cecily Strong. Our love of Cecily Strong knows no bounds.
Salute, Cecily Strong.
All right, let's get back to the sketch. Masked Singer.
We had the corn on the cob. Who he comes out and he sings, "I can't help falling in nub with you."
Pawning in nub.
In nub, N-U-B.
And of course, everybody immediately knows
it's buckwheat.
He brought back buckwheat. I did not see this coming.
It's buckwheat. This was kind of surprising. Because he killed off buckwheat.
Yeah,
because he got sick of doing the character.
Yeah, and they had that episode where like Alfalfa shot buckwheat back in the '80s, and like they just brought him back, and then they just let buckwheat sing a bunch of songs, and that was pretty much the sketch. It was like,
yeah,
he sang a dying teal the wibba.
Yes,
I shot the sheriff. Anis Namina.
Yes. And then he went into Respect by Aretha Franklin, which was like R-E-S-P-T-T-T-T. And then his big finish is
Tinganadies.
All the Tinganadies, all the Tinganadies. And he's doing the little dance moves with a hand. And
yeah, I mean, this sketch was just all just... I think they just wrote, let Eddie Murphy just do buckwheat for like a 2 minutes. And
yeah, and then
the end.
Just let him free associate. And, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, but we had the little subtitles and
yeah, I mean, I got a good chuckle out of it. I mean, just
it was good. It was. I thought it was the Masked Singer thing was a nice twist,
right?
For it.
And this sketch was just short enough too. Just it was pretty.
Yeah, I think it was like 3 minutes 40 seconds,
something like that
on YouTube. So
yeah. And I said on the last episode, I did not expect them to bring back buckwheat because SNL they cater towards millennials and young folks, and like, I don't think anybody under 30 knows who buckwheat is.
Our friend Kevin Israel, he tweeted, he was like, all the millennials Googling buckwheat right now.
Exactly. No one knows who buckwheat is. Yeah. But I think you mentioned it too, like on a way, like buckwheat kind of works now as like an original character in
like
a weird way.
Like a goofy alt thing where if you buy into it and you don't know who buckwheat is, you might just be like, hey, it's late on a Saturday and this is just kind of funny. Like, without knowing the origins of it, it's just kind of a silly, goofy, funny thing.
I saw actually somebody tweet something like that. They were like, oh, yeah, my kid who doesn't know the Little Rascals or our gang, they watched it and they were still laughing at the sketch. He was like, just funny as funny.
When I saw Buckwheat, and I think I was saying to Darren before, it wasn't on the DVD, even though it was on the DVD. It was way earlier. That's why I was so much younger.
Right, like those best of SNL DVDs.
I remember seeing, probably on maybe the 15th anniversary and not being a real Little Rascals devotee, but thinking that the Buckwheat sketch was just you couldn't get me to laugh any harder than just seeing him going wookin' panub.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, it's just funny. Like, it's so sweet and funny and goofy that I feel like you could just watch that
yeah.
and laugh without knowing
yeah.
who it is.
Wookin' panub.
And, you know.
A dava diva. A dava diva.
And then the subtitles are just question marks.
Yeah.
It's just like, they're like, we don't even know.
And for the record, he's singing Betty Davis Eyes.
That's right.
Oh
yeah.
You, yeah. You can hear. I got it.
Betty Davis Eyes. Yeah.
He's singing Betty Davis Eyes. He's cool.
Yeah.
This is like a revelation for me.
Yeah.
Because
no.
I love the song Betty Davis Eyes.
See
now
it
I'll
again.
I'll never separate.
But yeah.
I've watched, it's been like, you know, almost three decades of no idea what he's saying. And now.
Go to YouTube, see it again for the first time.
He's clearly singing Betty.
It is the
Kim Carnes
Betty Davis Eyes.
Kim Carnes Betty Davis
this
Eyes.
He's giving the joke new life to me. Thank you.
Everything old is new again.
You're welcome.
Thank you guys.
You are welcome. And speaking of music.
Yeah.
We had our musical guest. We had Lizzo come out. She did her first number, Truth Hurts.
Yeah.
What do we have to say about this?
She did Truth Hurts in the beginning. At the end, she did her other song, Good as Hell.
Uh-huh.
I liked it. I know there was some concern because,
Good as
like,
Hell's the Grubhub song, right?
Yes, it is. It's the Grubhub song. But yeah, like, I mean, I know there were some concerns because, like, she canceled a couple of dates before this because I guess she was, like, under
yeah,
the weather.
Yeah.
So, like, part of me was thinking, oh, she's going to be all right. Is she going to perform well? And she came out and she did a solid performance.
She's a good performer.
Yeah. She really had this huge breakout year. She's like on the cover of Time magazine now.
Was she? I didn't know.
Yeah, she was like Entertainer of the Year. She's got like a ton of Grammy nominations coming up. And mm-hmm. She's really had this. I mean, she's been around for a while because my sister listens, so she's a huge Lizzo fan, so I had to do some. So
I know your sister was on me. She was like, "You better study up on Lizzo.
You better respect Lizzo."
Yeah, and I was like, oh, "Okay."
But
she's
yeah,
got
yeah.
a flute in this picture. I think
yeah,
she plays a flute.
Yeah, yeah, she's actually a flautist. I expected her to play the flute, you know, uh-huh. sometime in one of her performances. She didn't, which was kind of a downer. But
she did in a commercial.
She did in a commercial. Oh yeah, the commercial for the whatever
was it for Grubhub?
No.
Okay.
But like, I mean, she's like a high energy performer. She does like an R&B rap pop
yeah.
dance thing.
A
she's
bit of
got
rock
a,
in
she's
the first
got a unique yeah, sound
also.
Yeah, and in her Truth Hurts performance, she had some rock into mm-hmm. it too, which I don't remember her doing a lot. But like, she was like kind of, you know, diversifying and spreading out a bit. I really dug both performances. I think she's a strong performer, and I think she's fantastic.
It was good stuff. It was good stuff.
I definitely thought it was good. Although the first one, I thought this is the most intense Dove ad I've ever seen. but no, I thought because I know a couple of her songs, but I thought she was an excellent live performer. Both songs.
Yeah.
What's weird is my two favorite live performances this year so far are the two sort of young rivals for the Grammys. I thought the Billie Eilish performance was really good.
Uh-huh.
And then Lizzo. Last year, I think it was Chris Stapleton, where I was like, who the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
And I really dug it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, Chris Stapleton, I've heard of it. Like,
yeah.
I find that since I don't listen to regular radio anymore, I'm just listening to podcasts, I'm relying on commercials and SNL to like introduce me to the names I'm always hearing about, but never actually hearing their music.
I know. I'm like, I've gotten old enough now that like, usually the musical guests on SNL are there may be somebody I vaguely heard of.
But a
lot of times it's like somebody I have no freaking clue. And, you know, that's fine. That's just the age I'm at.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think we talked about it a while ago where like SNL doesn't really have like any of the older established artists. I mean, once in a while they'll do. Like once in a while they'll have like Paul Simon on.
Right.
But that's because, you know,
Paul
knows Lorne.
That's the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah. But for the most part, it's like these young up and coming artists. Sure. And like, you know, sometimes the artists aren't great or I don't jive with them. But a lot of times.
Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah. Oh, Greta Van Fleet. You know, yeah. We'll not talk about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, but sometimes they'll be like, oh, that artist was really good. I did.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. And I mean, like the last week, you know,
Niall Horan.
Yeah. I really liked him. I was impressed with him.
Yeah. 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 It's like, oh, yeah, he was in One Direction. I didn't know that. But like, he's like a good performer.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I want to check out more on Niall Horan stuff.
I'd never heard of him, but I just said to my girlfriend, I said, it's probably, I literally said, he's probably a One Direction guy.
Yeah.
Really?
And then I was right.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like, not knowing what... I was just like, sounds British, like just like Harry Styles was on before.
Actually, he's from Ireland. I looked it up. He's Irish. Well,
is he okay. Irish? Maybe he's from the British part of Ireland. Maybe he's from Northern Ireland.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I just
so I can technically be quasi-correct.
Sure, sure.
You really want to win this.
I want to die on this hill.
Okay.
All right, but yeah. Lizzo, fantastic performance. Great performances.
Yeah, she had backup dancers who looked like Psylocke from the X-Men.
Yeah, they had that pole dancers at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, she had it all.
It was a production.
Oof. Next up, Weekend Update.
Weekend Update with Cullen Joseph and Michael Che.
Yeah, this Weekend Update is like the wildest Weekend Update I've seen in a while.
It was something.
this was a roller coaster ride.
It was. I liked early on. Michael Che, he had a nice line. He was like, you know, it's like when I say to Lauren, you can't fire me, and then some racist would be doing an update by himself.
Another Jost jab.
I enjoyed the Jost jabs.
And then at one point, it looks like Jost was going to go into a next segment, and then he gets interrupted by Gumby.
What?
He brought back Gumby.
It's Gumby, damn it.
I didn't think they were going to bring him back because, again, young people don't know who Gumby is.
Nope. Time has passed Gumby by.
Yeah, but they brought Gumby back, and sure enough, he got some huge, huge laughs.
Yeah.
And so he comes, so it's basically Gumby coming in to the Weekend Update all incredulous, saying, like, why didn't you put, you know, why didn't you put me on the show? Why didn't you put me in a sketch? I brought SNL back from the dead. I'm Gumby, damn it. Like, without me, that Eddie Murphy guy was just a coon boy. They said coon boy on the show. I was like,
Kitty? I missed that.
You missed that?
I missed that. I was...
I did not miss that.
Okay, we'll just do a little of that for...
And then he just called Mike, you know, he was just Gumby cursing out Lorne and SNL for, like, ignoring him.
Gumby is a bitter, bitter man.
Yeah.
Or bitter... Clay whatever Gumby is, I'm not quite sure.
I mean, he called Jost a trailer boy at one point.
Yeah.
He called Che black bastard.
Yep.
Numerous times. Like,
yep.
I mean, I thought it was hilarious, but like, I can tell some people in the audience were like, ooh.
Yeah. Oh, my. This is graphic.
great Scott.
I think the reason to bring back so many characters, though, is people in my age bracket and older were talking about SNL. So, like, this would be the first episode where you're probably going to outnumber the regular or younger viewers with people who will know a lot of what was on this episode.
I'll be very interested in hearing like what the ratings were like for this episode, because I bet there was a huge curiosity factor, and I bet they got a big boost in the ratings.
Had to be a huge boost.
Yeah. We're recording this like on Sunday, so I haven't seen anything like that yet.
But yeah, I'm sure, like, I mean, from my, you know, Facebook timeline, like, everybody was talking about it. Like, people who hadn't watched SNL in years are like, oh, I'm watching the Eddie Murphy episode.
Yeah.
So it's just Gumby cursing at everybody. You could tell, I think he went off script a little bit. He called Jost a headshot at one point.
I love that.
Yeah.
And then, like, when his segment was done, he was like, I'm not leaving.
He just stayed there for a minute.
And then he stayed there for a little while, and it did not look like Jost was expecting it, because they were, like, cutting away to Jost to do the next story, and Jost was just cracking up.
Jost was like, all right, stay, whatever.
Eddie was on a roll.
He's like, all right, I'll go.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, the two of you couldn't Velcro my sneakers. Like that Borscht Belt type of Jackie Mason cadence.
I just love the concept of Gumby being this old Jewish vaudevillian.
Yeah. who came up with that character? It's just a weird... But I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So and they had some more jokes. Next up, they had Pete Davidson come out doing his...
They were saying that Pete Davidson's going to talk about the impeachment hearings. And he's like, no, I just said that so I could get on the show.
Yeah.
And
I can't believe you had me follow Gumby.
Yeah.
Because Gumby got...
Would it have been too iconic to have both Eddie Murphy and Pete Davidson on camera at the same time?
I mean, my God, two greats.
I don't know. I mean, could we have handled that much star power?
Between the two of them, they have combined for Eddie Murphy's characters and impressions.
Oh, boy. You're not wrong, though.
Now, this is my one... This is my real... Like, other people I've had questions about their dental work while complimenting
Or
about the trajectory of their career. Are they on their way to being the next Keenan?
You have some Pete Davidson opinions, I'm sensing.
But Pete Davidson... I don't understand at this point. Is this his
You don't understand?
Is this his sixth season? or fifth or sixth season.
Something like that, yeah.
That sounds about right.
And Andy Samberg, who to me used to be the gold standard for, why are you on the show? But he had the digital platform.
Yeah, he had the digital shorts.
Now, as somebody making digital shorts out of my own pocket, I was like, what I would give to have SNL's budget to make YouTube videos.
Right.
But the product was still viral and entertaining, and people liked it.
Right, right.
What I don't get, other than being sort of just an ambassador for those under 27 years old on the show, at this
we
point,
need somebody to play the college students.
But at this point, I don't. I genuinely sort of don't get. I'm like, I've seen people get kicked, like dumped from the show, who seem to have produced more as far as work or characters or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, I can't name you an impression that he does. And I do know for a fact that the okay character is like, I think, is that his
only
character?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's his recurring character. Yeah, I guess.
Now, granted, my 12-year-old
Here's
nephew,
my character. He's really indifferent to things.
My 12-year-old nephew did say to me, however, he goes, "You know who I like on SNL?" And I said, "Just don't name one. You have all the cast."
So many possibilities. You could talk about Sicily, you could talk about Melissa, you could talk about Heidi or Alex or Mikey Day.
All of those I would have been like, "Nice."
Yeah.
And then he said, "The okay guy?" And I said, "Oh, interesting." And then I pushed him out of a moving car.
Oh, wow. That seems harsh.
So you're on the run from the cops right now. Is that what you're trying to say?
This is my safe house, actually.
Wow.
Are we housing a fugitive?
We are now officially accomplices, Darren.
God damn it. I'm sorry. Oh, wow. Hey.
This puts us on the spot.
I can't go back to jail, John.
But
you know this.
No. I know that sounds harsh, but I don't get it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, get your money. Congratulations. Keep doing what you're doing. It's working, but I don't.
Yeah.
I just don't understand at this point because it's sort of he's on cruise control, but he's on cruise control at like 15 miles an hour. It's not like he hit 55 and was like, oh, I'm killing
this. To play devil's advocate, it's not like he's on the show a whole lot anymore. Yeah.
that
he shows up every once in a while.
Yeah. There you go.
So the court case, you would just say, oh, there's no reason to render a judgment. It's moot. It's no longer a case or controversy.
I rest my case, Your Honor.
I mean, he shows up every other week and he says something on Update. He gets in trouble for that. And then he apologizes a week or two later.
Right.
He's got his little niche.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'll agree with you. Like, I mean, when we first started talking about Pete, like, I admit, he doesn't, like, his acting isn't that great. He doesn't have too many characters. And, like, I was like, he's not good in these sketches. But, like, when he does, like, Weekend Update stuff and just talks behind the desk, I think he's funny in that.
He does stand up at the Weekend Update desk.
Yeah, he's more of a personality than an actual actor.
Right. Yeah. And that, of course, I'm not even going to say I don't laugh, but I'm in my head, I'm going, well, there's certainly a lot of people who could do five minutes of their act.
Right.
And if that's the only requirement, you'd have some serious competition.
Yeah,
if it was just going to New York comedy clubs and going, who can do five funny minutes?
Yeah, it's no, I agree with you. Like, I mean, but even in this this segment, I think even Pete's kind of Pete has this thing where
there was some self awareness in what he was saying.
He's very he knows how people feel about him.
He said at one point, the world wants to punch me in the throat.
it's weird because like he's on
my new nickname apparently is the world.
Oh my god!
No, I'm kidding. No violence. I'm just kidding.
JL the world, Colvin.
If
I was a boxer, that would sound pretty good.
That sounds badass. Yeah.
Look, are you going against the world?
Yeah.
But there is this weird thing where he's on the show because like young people love him, but then again, even more people seem to hate him, and like it's
he can be a polarizing guy.
He can be. I get it though.
And I try to do this in comedy. It's very difficult to sometimes separate how you feel about somebody's business versus personal because people take their understandably, their comedy, their creation, very personally.
Yeah.
But I would say I have no ill will towards the man. I just, as a pure entertainment thing, go, has he made it six seasons on this? Can I share one Pete Davidson story?
Sure. For it.
When I had, and I'm bringing it back, the Righteous Prick podcast.
Okay. All right. Nice.
I had made a joke on my show about I said Baldwin's impression. And then I said, and I recently, for something, did a really good Rex Tillerson impression. This was when he was still Secretary of State. And I said, but you know what? Give me a break. I guess just like we have Baldwin doing Trump, I assume we'll just have Pete Davidson doing Rex Tillerson next week.
Yeah.
Said that on a Monday night.
Uh-huh.
that Saturday, not lag time, that Saturday, Pete Davidson, in one in his Weekend Update segment, he said, one of the lines he said is, my doctor thinks I should be, you know, it was the sketch about him not getting his sketches on the air. The
ones he'd written. Right.
And he said, my doctor thinks I do a really good Rex Tillerson impression.
Oh, and I said, wow.
That could be a coincidence. And I'm not even saying Pete Davidson listens to the podcast, right. But I'm like, somebody there, I can't imagine, didn't hear it because it seems too coincidental.
Things happen. We've discovered this phenomenon ourselves. We are big boosters for sketches with Cecily Strong and dogs.
And they boosted
that
up.
Right.
And we've had that. We tried to get a thing with Kyle Mooney playing Lou Zealand from the Muppets going because we wanted to test this. We're like, okay, well, maybe they just thought of the Cecily Strong and dog thing on their own. Let's test this with something more specific.
Uh-huh.
And let's start a campaign to have Kyle Mooney play Lou Zealand from the Muppets, who is the guy who threw the fish as boomerangs.
Right.
This has not as of yet happened.
This hasn't taken flight.
This attempted social media campaign, it has been a miserable failure thus far.
It has.
Kyle Mooney's a guy I do like who doesn't do a huge range, but mm-hmm. I kind of like what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a lane. He definitely has a lane.
He has a lane. He knows his lane.
Back to the sketch. Let's get back to this. So Pete Davidson, he was just talking about how he's kind of waiting for Tosh to retire, like, as he gets older.
Yeah.
Like, he's very self-aware. He knows he's not the best actor, and even he questions, like, why he's on it,
the
show.
At the end of this, he alludes to, like, I'm going on vacation.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and it sounds like he's hinting at he's going into rehab or something like that. I don't know. I was like, okay, how real is this? I don't know.
That was very uncomfortable.
Could you should have prepped me before I went on like what will be a viral tirade. Like,
yeah.
If this goes really south for Pete, they're going to be like, and it turns out the final straw might have been an unknown comic from Jersey who went on an unnecessary, as you can hear, the hosts were trying to hold him back from his worst impulses.
The views expressed by J.L. Colvin do not reflect those of the
SNL nerds. Edit out the part where I say I have no problem with him personally. They'll be like, he clearly has problems with him personally.
That's right. We are going to edit this to make you look as bad as possible.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
boy.
Yeah. You'll be the official scapegoat.
Yeah. But think of the downloads, man.
We're probably getting extra downloads because of the Eddie Murphy thing alone.
Yes.
And then when this controversy breaks out, oh my God.
Dude, oh my God. We're going to be eating lobster all night.
But I
guess he's going into rehab.
I don't know. Best to you, Pete. We were pulling for you. We hope you everything goes well.
We hope don't die. Please don't. Please don't die.
He also had a nice little jab at Colin where he says, like, oh, you're out there, you're rubbing elbows with the Avengers, elbows at the least.
Yeah. People love you, Colin. Like, people say you're getting the 8 hours of sleep I desperately need.
Yeah. There were some good lines in it.
It was rough. And then they went into the thing they normally do around the Christmas time where they swap jokes. And
Colin and Michael swapping jokes.
Yeah, This is always fun.
I enjoy this segment because they're generally cracking each other up and they're generally trying to screw each other over.
Yeah, very much so. It's just like a lot of like racist stuff for Colin to say.
Yeah, it was.
Even Che had that one joke about the herpes that I thought was a great one.
Yeah. That was a good joke. That was a solid joke.
That was the first time where I felt like Colin got a win. Like, usually I feel like it's easy to, it's funny and easy to make the white guy, like, say racist things. So it's like a built-in advantage, but I felt like the herpes joke was like because Che really, really lost it on that one.
Yeah.
It kind of showed that it was like, oh, that was a good one.
That was,
finally.
Yeah.
It was finally, a win for the white guy.
He had, thank God. Yeah, the
we
white
did
man.
It! Oh, why your headphones fell off? Oh shit!
Oh, we'll just do a little of that.
That was a great. And then they went into Cecily Strong as Janine Pyro, which kind of surprised me. I thought they would have ended it at the joke joke swap.
I think we had to do this just for technical reasons because Cecily's Janine Pyro, bit of a drinker.
Yeah.
She had a glass of wine with her two bottles of wine.
Bit of a boozy Susie.
And we had the thing where we have the sleeve up where you bring your hand up to your mouth and then you puke the wine all over Colin Jost and John Trumbull is very happy.
Yeah, exactly. And of course. And Janine Pyro speaks very loudly. She speaks at the volume of a woman who lost her kid in the Mall of America.
Yes.
Just screamy, vomit wine on Colin Jost.
I mean, really, just this whole segment, I mean, I see her with a wine glass, and I'm just waiting for Colin to get wine thrown in his face.
It's going to happen, it did happen.
But they did the puking wine.
It's a nice twist.
Even better.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe it's Pyro, though. Sorry to
Pyro?
Why say Pyro?
Yeah.
I wrote Pyro. Pyro. Apologies to the Pyro.
We don't watch a lot of Fox News here.
We're not learned.
We are familiar with Judge Janine Pyro. Through Cecily Strong, I think is the optimal way to be familiar with her.
Yes.
You should listen to my my podcast, Fox News Nerds.
Ooh, that sounds most intriguing.
Gross. I need to bathe after just saying that.
Wash your mouth out with soap, sir.
But her Janine Pyro is fantastic.
Mm. It is.
But somebody tweeted at me that she said it was so obscured, though, that I think they went with the wine going towards the end that she said she dropped an F-bomb. But I didn't. I
didn't notice that.
And it could have been. It also could have.
Maybe it was just lost.
It was on the third, when she was at Colin's lap area. And was like, oh, fuck. But it could have been. Hmm. I had a couple people on my Twitter timeline she said that. And then I was like, she might have. It wasn't clear enough.
We're going to have to play this back like the Zapruder film now.
Back into the F word.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, this weekend update was it was insane. It was a type of wildness that I haven't seen in SNL.
There was a lot going on.
It was just loosey-goosey.
It was fun.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Next, we had Black Jeopardy, where reviving this sketch again, and then Eddie comes back as another one of his characters, Velvet Jones.
Velvet Jones.
Author of I Want to Be a Ho.
Right, exactly. Basically, with this character, Velvet Jones, I don't know, is he's like a pimp who, he wrote a book called, How to Be a Ho, and he says, oh, women, you can earn money by sleeping with men. That's incredible. it's him doing it in Black Jeopardy. As far as sketches go, I thought this was the weakest sketch of the night.
It was... I think it's definitely the weakest Black Jeopardy sketch they've done so far, because that has traditionally been a very, very strong sketch for them, and they haven't revisited too much and driven it into the ground.
Right. But this one, there were a couple of flubs here and there in the beginning. Mm-hmm, Eddie kind of stumbled over his lines.
Yeah.
It wasn't that strong.
It was okay. I mean, it was kind of predictable because it was just Velvet Jones pulling out new books. There were some good jokes. I at one point, Keenan, as the host, he says "Hey, you got to watch this stuff. You know about me too, right?" And he's like, "Yeah, I have this book. You like hoes? Me too."
That was cute. I feel like they were close to doing something about how. Velvet Jones comes from this, olden era of talking about women and stuff, but you can't do that now because of Me Too and women empowerment.
Yeah.
But then they had that thing where he brought out
Instagram.
How to be an Instagram hoe. Was I thought they were going to maybe mine that a little bit more, but they didn't really do
this, that. This was, because what I sometimes say to my SNL watching partner is my girlfriend.
Hey. Mm-hmm. We get it. You have a girlfriend. Jeez. I mean, oh my God. Rub it in.
And I say every week, I go, another game show sketch. I feel like it's sort of built in. This is an example where I think it was a little lazy to go Black Jeopardy, because imagine if they had only made the sketch an update of Velvet, where it's now he's giving social media guidance on how to be an Instagram host. So the language can be the same, but now it's totally modernized. Whereas in this case, it was more well, Black Jeopardy works for us, so we'll just slide the character in there. Yeah. I think Black Jeopardy needs a longer rest since Tom Hanks.
That was the best one ever.
Yeah.
Didn't they do the Black Panther one after Tom Hanks, though?
Yeah, the Black Panther was good with Chadwick Boseman, but the Tom Hanks one was really...
I mean, that was an instant classic.
Yeah, that was a solid sketch.
I mean, what can skinny women do for me? Not a goddamn thing. Not a goddamn thing.
All right, Doug. All right.
All right, Doug. I mean, that was great just because it had this twist that you did not see coming.
I love that twist.
Because you see him and he's like, I think he's
a MAGA hat.
And a MAGA hat, and yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that it showed like, oh, we have more in common than we want to believe.
I mean, that was
like,
great. That was great.
Is that, sorry to jump. Is that the best episode of the last, like, however many years?
The Hanks episode?
Tom Hanks episode.
Could be.
I'd have to go back and watch it, but it's
could be.
It's very possible.
I mean, Hanks, he's always solid. Tom Hanks, but he always brings it.
I just thought that one, not only did you have Black Jeopardy, then you had this kind of goofy, instantly iconic, weird David S. Pumpkins thing.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
On the same episode. Then you had him as Sully. I just thought that episode was just
it's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot for one episode,
Oh, you might have a point there.
You make a good case.
Yeah.
You make solid a good case.
Sir.
All right, back to this.
Solid case, plaintiff.
We will adjourn. Let's see. But, I mean, this was, I thought it was just okay.
Yeah, it's like so, yeah, it was like okay, but it definitely wasn't great.
Yeah, it needed a little more oomph. I mean, Velvet Jones isn't his strongest or most memorable character.
No, not at all. But like, I feel like if they kind of dug into that Instagram part, like I feel like they were close to like doing something where like they could have made like a point about like social media and like, you know, in the modern age and women's, you know, how we see and view women nowadays, but like they didn't quite get there.
Yeah.
All right, but it was whatevs.
Anyway, next sketch.
Final sketch.
North Pole News Report. We had Alex Moffat as the newscaster, Rick Sugarplum. He's an elf.
Right.
He has this great hair. He's got the pointed ears. The makeup was really on point in this sketch. I was impressed with the makeup. So kudos to SNL makeup department. And we go to the field reporter.
Hair and makeup for SNL is
just chef's kiss.
They're amazing. Because
wonderful.
They're doing movie work on a like time like Jack Bauer esque.
They're putting these things together in like it must be like 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe somebody once in a while sits out a sketch and you have a little more time to work with them. But I mean, what they did with Kate McKinnon at the beginning of the show with, and I don't know if they had to change the makeup between Elizabeth Warren and Nancy Pelosi, but that my God,
mind boggling. Yeah.
I mean,
oofa.
Yeah,
they're like,
I'm so impressed.
A pit crew. They're like a pit crew.
Yeah,
exactly. exactly.
Jinx. Oh, jeez. All right. I owe you a Coke.
So we had this. There was a fire at Santa's workshop. They're reporting on this story. And we have Eddie as an elf who's like reporting in a panic, and they're like, "Oh, what happened here? What's your name, sir?" And he's like,
"It don't matter what my name is." but yeah, and basically, they were going with this sort of trope of, you know, loud black man at the side of a news site,
like an ill-informed,
uninformed. Like, I saw the whole thing. Like, you know, the reporter goes to him, and he's like,
and the reporter, he's trying to walk this back. He's like, "Okay, we can't really verify any of this yet. We're trying to," and he's like, "A polar bear broke in and began eating elves. bears poop popping elves in their mouth." Like Skittles. And at one point he comes out with a severed elf leg.
A severed leg. Like, you see, this is on your head. Yeah, again, and they basically go on and on about how, like, you know, polar bears eating all the elves, and like there was a hole in the fence, and Santa knew about it, but he didn't want to spring the gumdrops to pay for it. So all this elf blood is on your hands, Santa.
And he's like, "Here's how weird it got. Here's this white teenage elf girl who came up to me, a black elf in sweatpants, and he asked me to keep her safe."
Yeah. And then Cecily Strong came out saying, "Yeah, this is on you, Santa." And then Eddie was like, "Listen to this sexy ass elf."
That's an homage to the guy who was the guy in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah,
Charles Ramsey.
Because
he said, "When you see a little white girl run into a black man's arms, you know there's a problem." Dead giveaway.
Yeah. I didn't get that, but that's cool.
But I thought Eddie Murphy, what made me enjoy that sketch is that when I closed my eyes, I was like, what character is this? I was like, oh, it's Donkey from Shrek. Like, it's the same pitch as Donkey being excited.
I saw some people say that,
I mean, again, like, anytime Eddie Murphy screams, it's something like him screaming, like, you know, "It don't matter what my name is." Like, it makes me laugh.
It was so emphatic. I mean, I think this is a sketch where the performance really kicked it up a notch or two.
Yeah, if anybody else did it, I probably would have been like, "This sketch is no good."
It might have been seemed so-so, but Eddie just really, boom, just kicked it into the stratosphere. For me, I think this was a sketch of the night. Ooh. I thought I really enjoyed this because I think because it was an original sketch, it was nice to see Eddie do something new and not just revisit an old character.
Fair enough.
So this was, I think, my favorite of the night. I wish it was up a little sooner, but I understand why it wasn't.
Right, right. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I dug the sketch as well.
You know, and we had Cecily Strong as a sexy ass elf.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Happy holidays, everybody.
You know, we had like the Tooth Fairy Instagram. He's like, this bitch sounds crazy.
And that's the episode. I mean, this was, I mean, my God,
it was something else. I mean, it passed really quickly. The episode was over before I knew it.
Yeah,
you know?
Got to Weekend Update, I said, wait a second.
Yeah,
like I was like, oh man, and it feels like Weekend Update's a little later than it
they pushed it later in the show.
So that you only have a couple sketches left. After
yeah,
Weekend
right.
Update.
Yeah,
I think they ran late a little bit because like I think Lizzo came on. It was like around 12 or something.
Uh huh. Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh wow, that means Weekend Update's not going to be like around 12:20 or 12.
The show ended really quickly at the good nights.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I dug this episode. Overall, thoughts, everybody?
There were, I mean, I thought it was a pretty strong episode. I was pretty happy.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. The only thing it made me think is, because for me, in sketch comedy, across shows, the two that stand above everybody else for me are Eddie Murphy and Jim Carrey.
It
made me wish that there was a similar vehicle for Jim Carrey to be able to kind of almost, if only SNL would just turn into In Living Color for one episode and allow him to do like five of his characters.
He comes back as Fire Marshal Bill or the bodybuilder.
Vera DeMilo.
The
preacher with Damon Wayans. Like just different. But because I just think those are the two, for me, that stand above everyone else that have sort of done TV sketch comedy.
Right. No, I mean Jim Carrey, my God.
But I was impressed because, and then like I said, I had to realize, oh, well, he hasn't been doing like stand up or sketch work, but he still is a working A-list actor.
So
it's not like doing this was going to be like, oh, I've been retired and writing memoirs for the last 20 years. So I was pleasantly like happy with like, oh, it was a strong episode.
Right. I mean, there were some sketches where he looked a little stiff, like just trying to figure it out, but like when those sketches, like the North Pole news, and
he was into a groove.
Once he got that groove, he got into it, and I thought it was really strong. You know, Gumby, I mean, my God, like when he was talking about Lizzo, I was like, oh, that girl, what's her tush, Lizzo? Like she's something else. I mean, usually colored girls don't do that to me, but oh my God, colored girls.
Which character do you feel like he felt back into the best?
I gotta say Gumby. I mean, I feel like he never left it. Like, Mr. Robinson, it was like a little stiff. Velvet Jones, a little stiff. Buckwheat,
the wig could have been better.
I think.
The hair seemed a little off to me.
I think as a sketch, I liked Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. I just thought it was the most clever, like they, like you said,
the most clever twist.
Readily to update.
Yeah.
And they did a good job with
that. Yeah, like even in the opening, the title of the Mr. Robinson, they showed like the old building, but with like new condos next to it.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, that's a nice little change.
Yeah. Right.
Buckwheat really made me laugh still.
I thought they had a decent twist in that. I mean, I think putting him on The Masked Singer, that was a pretty good idea.
I mean,
and
just babble is funny.
Yeah.
Amis na mina.
Yeah. But it was funny. There were also I'm just going to note quickly, there were a couple cut for time sketches that are up on YouTube. There's one called Holiday Gig where it was in a band with Keenan and Kyle, and then
you say they're up on YouTube like they were pre-taped that were cut.
They were done in the dress rehearsal. Like,
oh, so they have a video.
Yeah,
the
SNL on the YouTube account, they'll put up sketches that were cut for time from the final show.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because like when they do the dress rehearsal, they do this big supersized show that's probably at least 2 hours.
Okay,
and then after that, they decide, okay, this sketch worked well. Let's change the order. Let's do this.
You guys really are
this.
SNL nerds.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of good like cut for time sketches up there.
And that one, I was like, okay, I understand why they cut this one.
That wasn't great. And then the next one was the 80
Bizzo and Lizzo, where she 80 tries to emulate Lizzo. She's like, why can't I be 100% that bitch? And,
I mean, I thought that sketch was like, I'm kind of.
It was okay. It was kind of long.
Sounds fun. It sounds
It was
funny,
a film
like,
segment,
describing it. I'm like, that sounds like it might
well,
have been
check
funny.
It out. See, check it out. See how you like it.
All
it
on
was,
YouTube.
It was enjoyable, but I see why both of those were cut, because they weren't as Eddie-centric. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
But and they also announced who when SNL is coming back. SNL is coming back on January 25th, 2020, with Adam Driver hosting and Halsey a musical guest.
Halsey.
I feel like she was on, like she was towards she the end of last year.
She hosted and did the musical guest.
Yeah, she musical guested and hosted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was really good. And Adam Driver, this will be his second time hosting.
Only a second? I was thinking.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, he had he had one of the best from last year, sketch wise. That
undercover boss.
Well, no.
The career day? Kid,
the career day where he's like the oil tycoon.
Oil
I crushed his bones!
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. That was some strong character work right there.
So,
So we tweeted out.
Adam Driver.
He has to know that I fought for him.
I debuted my Adam Driver impression last week.
That's
my new thing. I want to take video of this now. And
it's a talk of the town. Yeah. Ooh, I like that. We put out on the word that we were doing this episode on the Twitter sphere, and we got a good amount of responses here.
Yeah, a lot of people have things to say about Eddie.
A good friend at the Composition Podcast, they said, Buckwheat singing Stevie Wonder works surprisingly well. I expected all the rehashings of his classic characters to feel crowbarred in. Thankfully, they didn't. Not bad.
Actually, I just saw a tweet from Kenan Thompson. It just says, it's so nice to see the love that's being shown here today. I really needed that. Glad y'all see me. Last night was legendary, and I'm glad y'all feel I deserve to be in it.
Interesting. All right, and we got this one from Steve Harold at Joint Partners. Oh, this is an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Says, was pretty bad. Typical SNL, too many cameos. Eddie can't even do a monologue. Parentheses. It was a nonologue. Others.
I do kind of like nonologue. That's pretty clever.
That's funny. Others walk on and take over instead of him delivering 10-minute jokes. Most of his characters fell flat. I say watch that episode in 2 months, and you'll probably agree away from hype.
Some people had written, I can't believe they didn't let him do stand up. My instinct is like, but if he's not in practice,
yeah,
maybe he knows. Well, I'm not going to try and throw any fastballs out here when I'm...
He said, like, on one of his talk show appearances this week in the lead-up to the show, that he hasn't really started rehearsing...
Right.
...or hitting clubs for...
And that's respect for stand-up versus, like, hey, I'm a YouTuber and they're willing to pay me. I'll go do stand-up. That's somebody who actually knows what it takes to be a stand-up. And the high level he was at, it would make sense to be like...
Yeah,
you know, no, I'm not going to just...
Yeah.
If I'm not ready, I'm not going to go do a Louis C.K. Kevin Hart... stand-up monologue.
Right.
If he was ready, I'm sure he would have.
Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, maybe if this was a good enough experience for him, maybe he'll come back. Who knows? Yeah. And maybe when he's in practice, we'll see some Eddie stand-up on SNL. That would be really neat to see.
Let's find out. Let's hopefully.
So let's see. Who else? We got Neil Navani.
Oh, my buddy Neil.
Enjoyed it, though another cold open based on a debate felt repetitive. Only Eddie's sketch I felt could have been stronger was Velvet Jones. We agree.
Fair enough. My other buddy, Nigel Fullerton, a.k.a. Fully, said...
Hey, we get it. You have friends.
I don't want to brag, but people know who
people
I am.
Like you. Okay.
Nigel said, as you know, I'm an Eddie Murphy stan. It was great to see him on SNL. Was everything flawless? No. Hype aside, he was rusty. Monologue could have used some work. Sketches were off. A little off. He didn't kick it in the ding-ding, but it wasn't Goony Goo Goo.
And
which,
see.
Of course, are two references to his stand-up.
We got SCF. It lived up to the hype. Eddie breaking was hilarious. Even my 7-year-old was cracking up at Gumby.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's me.
We're keeping our 7-year-old up to 1 a.m. on Saturday.
Yeah, hey,
all right.
Put that kid to bed. What are you doing?
I mean, my God, you can DVR it.
Yeah, kids need sleep.
But it's a weekend. It's okay.
Mac R. Whaley said, I just enjoyed the moment. By no means was it a perfect show, and some sketches felt like they didn't have much of an ending. It was just very cool to see Eddie on stage. Favorites were the Christmas dinner and Weekend Update. Really strong Weekend Update. Too many ringers in cold open. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about, you know, cameos and cold opens for quite some
time. And, let's see. Looks like we've got another review on the Apple Podcasts.
Hey, now!
Here. It says, it's from It's from JL Comedy.
What?
It's headline, Fun Show.
Who was that?
A very enjoyable recap show, mainly because they reflect my opinion 90% of the time.
Hey now.
So thank you, JL Comedy.
Whoever
you are, wherever you are out there in the potosphere.
Sounds like a great guy.
Sounds like a wonderful guy. We should have him on sometime.
Yeah, and oh boy,
that's a tough endorsement to get. From what I hear, he is a rigorous comedy and podcast standard.
Wow, he's a bit of a curmudgeon, but yeah, he's good stuff. And our Twitter, we also got somebody saying on Twitter, why was Usher on stage at the end? I didn't even notice that.
Oh yeah.
Usher was on stage?
He was just milling around with her. I didn't know if he was there as a friend. I was asked.
He's there for the after show hang.
Well, I was asked, does he produce Lizzo? Does he have any role with her music?
I don't believe he does.
But I was just, but then he might have just been like, oh, Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle and Eddie Murphy are there? Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to party with those guys.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow. All right. And yeah, that's the episode. Not too shabby a return for the king, Eddie Murphy. Very enjoyable.
I think it met my expectations. I was pretty happy with what we got.
Absolutely.
It was a pretty strong show overall.
Yeah, I'd say so. That's our show. JL, thank you so much for doing this episode with us, man.
Thanks
for having
me.
This was fantastic. Now, let us know. Like, where can we check you out? Do you have any dates coming up?
Anything to plug? Yeah. The floor is yours.
I would say right now, my website's jlcomedy.com, but my calendar is, let's just say I'm about to replace it with a screen that says under construction.
Nice.
Yeah. things are happening for you.
That looks better than blank. I had a good year, and now it looks like, every year I get to the end of a year, and it looks like, my career's ended until gigs start just falling back in.
Yeah.
Preaching to the choir.
It's tough around the holidays.
But I do have a podcast as Trump every week, Making Podcasts Great Again, available, wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right.
I'm sure I'll be linked to the tweet.
We're not going to do that. No.
Okay.
Oh, we're not? Yeah.
No.
I don't know who JL Comedy is, but you can go to jlcomedy.com and find all my stuff.
Okay.
Hot damn.
So check what a weird coincidence.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, that's you got to get on that person for taking your screen name there.
Yeah, this is
unheard of. You can check out the SNL Nerds on Twitter at SNL Nerds Show. You can also find me on Twitter at Trumbull Comic, TRUMBULL. I actually blanked for a second on how to spell my own name.
I didn't want to say anything. I'm like, oy, 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 boy. It's been a long day.
It's been a long year. Let's.
And if you want to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Darren Credible, Darin Credible. The next podcast episode we're going to do,
because SNL is off for a while, so we got to go back to the movies.
Yeah. So we're going to do Christmas. A movie. We're thinking, well, what SNL Christmas movie could we do? We're thinking Christmas Vacation, think about Elf. We thought, no, let's go to the 1987 or 88?
88
classic, Bill Murray, Scrooge.
Scrooge.
Talking all about Scrooge on the next
episode. Scrooge, little post-Christmas season.
Yes.
This will be our first show back after Christmas, but between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, that little pocket.
Yeah.
So that's
we're looking forward to that. I've actually never seen Scrooged all the way through.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I think I've seen like bits and pieces on like Channel 11. So this will be new for me.
So this is gonna be fun. I'm looking forward to this.
Hot damn.
So check us out for next week. Please go over to non-productive.com. Check out the other shows on the Non-Productive Network. They're all good stuff, fun stuff to listen to.
Yes, Adventures in Collecting, the Honeymooners podcast, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then join us next week for Scrooge.
Yeah.
And until then,
nerds out.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.